So is life better after a victory? Like everything, do the flowers smell better? The grass greener?
There's no question. I mean, it's unfortunate my mood for most of the week is dictated on whether we win or lose. And it can be a tough week. Last week was a tough week for sure. And that's something that really you have to work on both ways. When you lose, you have to find a way to get over it quick because you know you can't let it affect the next game. And then when you win, you got to do the same thing because you got another good team ahead of you and you can't be feeling yourself too much.
I got a media report last night. So let's see, one of the Cowboys beat guys, John Machada. Or is it Machada? I don't know. And I'm sure some other people reported this, but I will credit him. He writes on Twitter, Sean Lee being looked at by the team's medical staff. They put up the blue medical tent. Lee wanted no part of going in. It appears he had to be talked into going in the tent. Eventually he did. Confirm or deny this report.
Yeah, no, I know that tent. You know, I never want to go near that tent. But, you know, like I said, I had some cramping and some, it was a hot game and running around a lot. So that hamstring just got a little tight from cramping. So that I think we wanted to go in there and I think tape me up. And being that I just have a jock on under those pants, it's probably good that I go in there while I'm taped up. So,
okay.
With the butt hanging out would not be good luck on the sideline.
So it's
more of a modesty play.
So I think it was 20-3 at that point, and you weren't slated to go back in. That was precautionary. It wasn't like you could have gone back in.
Yeah, if I needed to go back in, I was ready to go. But the great thing is we are very deep at linebacker, and we got guys who are ready to play. And you saw that those guys come in at different times last night and play really well. Jalen, Layton, Joe, Damian. I mean, guys across the board making plays.
It did look like you did come back in for the final onside kick, though.
I did come in for the onside kick, yeah.
That's funny.
It's enough messing around.
Let's end this game. And I know you don't want to badmouth a team or anything. That might have been the worst onside kick attempt I've ever seen.
Well, I think he changed his game plan when he saw me in there. Yeah, the first one was a good one. The second one was not as good. So they've changed the rules on that where you can't shift six anymore. So there's five and five guys on the line on each side of the kicker. So they've kind of limited the options really for those guys, what type of kicks you really can see.
That's really interesting. And you guys, they've changed so many of the kickoff rules. You know what, though? As opposed to going down that rabbit trail, let's just focus on the overall performance from last night from the defense. This is two games in a row, and obviously it is a long year, but it's also okay to smell the roses along the way and to enjoy a good night. I thought the defense was just dominant, and so many blitzes and effective blitzes, I should say. It's one thing to blitz, Sean. It's another thing to get free runners and to get home, and that's what was going on last night.
It was. We had a lot of guys. The scheme was great. So anytime you have guys coming free, you can credit the scheme. And then you saw guys being able to finish strip sacks, getting there. And then you saw the D-line on even four-man rushes, getting to the quarterback, causing a ton of pressure, making plays. And, I saw the stat that it was six different guys with sacks, which is always great to see because, that group works together all the time. They've been in games. And they see themselves, four as one, making sure everybody can get to the quarterback and share it sometimes. And then you give credit to the back end. A lot of those blitzes sometimes, you're bringing six, it's one-on-one, it's great man. And the core, you have to have confidence in your secondary to be able to lock down. And they did that last night and helped us.
When watching TV, the announcers throughout the preseason and last night's game for sure are crediting Chris Richard and saying, a lot of impact, a lot of vague comments, though, on the impact of Chris Richard. Can you get a little specific with the impact of him joining your staff?
I think he's just an incredible football coach who can teach all levels of defense, whether it's technique and coverage, whether it's X's and O's and scheme, and then the motivational ability he has. And then you pair him with a guy like Coach Marinelli, who has the same type of talent and the same history, and two guys who believe in fundamentals and playing hard and playing the right way and attacking. The combination of both has been great, and he's been an unbelievable add, and we've fed off him.
Do you guys feel and I don't know if this is necessarily because of an adjustment on the coaching staff as much as it is, you guys have really pounded defense in the draft room, and mm-hmm. and a lot of things are kind of happening at the same time. Jalen's up to speed. Randy Gregory's back, even though he wasn't there last night. But Taco's in year two. Those corners are in year two in some cases. It feels like it's just a natural evolution of your personnel. But whatever reason it is, I kind of get the sense that the coaching staff has more confidence, and that means you guys can do more exotic things and believe that everyone can handle their business. You don't have to protect the defense anymore, it seems like, in some respects.
Yeah, I think you look at the talent from top to bottom, the secondary, the linebackers, and your defensive line, and you see a lot of guys who can make plays. And anytime you have that, you're right. You can throw a lot of variation out there. You can do different things. You can play a lot of man coverage and blitz different ways. That affects quarterbacks. So I thought we did a great job of rolling different blitzes and then rolling different coverages through last night. And that keeps them, off guard and makes it hard on them.
This is Sean Lee and the Sean Lee program on Mondays here with the Bob and Dan Show. Very exciting to talk to another guy that avoided the trainers like a plague. 82. Boy, you try to take a look at anything, you're going to get – that's the thing about the high adrenaline sideline, isn't it, Sean? Feelings – you got to have tough feelings down there in the heat of the battle. No one wants you to mess with them.
Yeah, there's no question that you talk about messing with when it comes to getting the trainers trying to get you off the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I looked at anybody, and that's like a guy like you talk about, Witt. I mean, anytime, he was not coming off the field at any cost, at any point. And that's a guy that has been my role model since I stepped in here. Guy I've always looked up to. You don't want to come off the field ever. There's sometimes where they're going to fight you because they know what's best for you. And you have to listen to them. But for me, I want to play every snap, every down, and try to make every play. I mean, that's how I've always been. And, the trainers, though, at times I've gotten older, you have to listen to them because they have your best interest in hand.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week as far as when to take you off the field, and that you've agreed that it's good to be precautionary a little bit. So is that all predetermined? Because certainly if you're up 20-3, that's going to be a time when, hey, let's not take any crazy risks here. In the game, are you going by flow of game, or is it definitely going to be like the third series or whatnot?
I think there's kind of a common sense look at it. A couple things. I mean, snaps, total snaps. I think we're kind of over a game. We'd like to see a total amount of snaps. Certain periods within the game, depending how many plays played in the first quarter. A lot of times in the second quarter, we're going to look maybe to take a quick break and then maybe get back before the end of the half if there's any 2-minute situations. Then maybe late in the third quarter so I can come out in the fourth quarter because, to me, fourth quarter is the most important quarter. You have to win that quarter if you want to win football games, and I want to be out there for all of it. So I think there is a game flow that's added into it. And Coach Bloom, I'll look at him and we'll talk it out. And each game is going to be different, but with the confidence that I have in the guys in my room, it's all right to come off the field a little bit and let them go play because they've played great.
How good is Saquon Barkley? It looks like every week we're going to talk about a playmaker on the other side that's next to unstoppable at times, and he's a handful too, isn't he?
He's pretty absurd. I mean, he is so explosive, elusive, strong, plays hard. I mean, I'm obviously a big fan because he went to Penn State and watched him for 4 years, thought he was an incredible football player there, an unbelievable leader and worker up there, and really you couldn't have a better guy to lead Penn State the last couple of years. And play against him, he's the real deal. I mean, you can feel his speed and power. And, against those backs, you play guys like Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch, and the margin is very small. You have to be on like that because they can run away from you. They're powerful. He's on his way to being great. And it was a tough challenge last night.
And conversely, on your side, and I know you're asked about this guy probably as much as anybody, Sean, but it was pretty cool to see some explosive moments for your guy Jalen right next to you. He had that big hit on Eli. He definitely got sidelined to sideline against Saquon, And I feel like that might not have been there in 2017 on the same level of explosiveness. That's just called time to heal, but it's good to see.
Yeah, I've said this. You know, the way he did last year, being able to play through the injury he played with, was historic. And how he played last year, every game he got better and better. It really was the first time he had played in 2 years, transitioning from college to the NFL. What he did last year was amazing. We've seen him progress this offseason. Yeah, I always said you can see it in the secondary, some of these young guys. There's a huge jump from year one to year two for me, for everybody. And you see that now with him, even with how well he played last year, you see that jump. Just understanding the game, you know, your reads become quicker. You're more poised on the field and ready. And he's showing that, and it's fun to watch it because he is explosive. He's a great athlete.
This is the Sean Lee Show. Every week at this time, we'll talk to Sean Lee about the Cowboys' last game and whatever, I suppose. But last week, it was a big deal in the media. Talk about Dak communicating with Linehan during the game, perhaps, or is it Kellen Moore, or who he communicates with? Are you the guy that wears the I'm just guessing you're the guy that wears the helmet that communicates with the coaching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I have the mic in the helmet.
And so who is that that you talk to? Who's talking to you? You don't talk back, right? Somebody's just talking to you.
Yeah, so somebody's just talking to you. And I have, like, I want to say maybe 15, 20-second window to get a call in. And so it's good for Shar, just the one on the mic. In the past, you know, it was called Sluice for a while. And so, yeah, the mic is a big deal. And can, you know, at home, it's a lot harder defensively, obviously, because the ground is loud. And so, you know, you want to make sure that mic is clear. And sometimes you'll draw calls. And I swear, we have conspiracy theories. You've got a different way stadiums, and all of a sudden you're in the red zone in an important situation and you can't get your mic drops. You know, so it is important to have that communication, get the call out. And it's something that I take very seriously because you want to make sure you get the call out early so that you can get lined up and play fast.
Okay, so that happens, huh? Your conspiracy theory?
I am a conspiracy theorist on that. No, that's probably not true, but every once in a while, you'll get a mic dropped, and it's never fun with that. Sometimes, especially if the offense is already breaking the huddle, and that's when you get a call out and you play defense and get everybody on the same page.
Who's talking to you?
So yeah, sometimes when it's cut out, you go to the signals a lot of times. So you'll have the mic, but you'll also have some signals on the sideline that you work in case the mic goes out. So we know calls every week. We go, every call has a signal, and so we're practicing all the signals throughout the week, so we know we can communicate without the mic at any point.
Okay, I just meant whose voice is in your ear? Is it Marinelli?
Oh, Coach Richard. No, it's Richard.
Oh, it's Richard. Okay.
And you said
yeah.
And you said the last couple of years it had been Eberflus.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The irony of
I just know Marinelli's voice is a little. It can be low, and maybe that wouldn't carry over the crowd.
Well, he gets intense too. So,
yeah.
You know, you never know if he's screaming through the mic at me.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting though, Sean, because even those of us in the media, if we're in a stadium, sometimes you need like an IFB, which is actually an
earpiece?
Appliance, an earpiece that's actually inside your ear, which seems like that would be a real safety hazard for a linebacker. So is it basically just a speaker inside the helmet, or does it actually go inside your ear?
No, it's a speaker that's in the helmet. It's above the padding, and there's a little, I don't know, a little round circle at the speaker, and it's pretty loud. I mean, you can, if it's turned up a lot, you can hear it right, you know, a person down or two people down. I mean, the thing is pretty loud, and it's good, and I love having it the mic in my helmet in this section.
Lovely. Well, Sean, listen, it's good to get that first W, and now it's on to the next one, another loud stadium, in fact. Old Seattle will be waiting, their home opener, in fact.
That's a tough place to play, and it's always a fun place to play against your team.
Man, and when I think of Seattle and I think of Sean Lee, I think of that moment, which I suppose you remember very well, but for the audience, man, that's that was your first trip in there when Golden Tate hit you on that, I guess, crackback, which I think that's an illegal hit now in the NFL, is it not?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is or not. I mean, that's football, though. You know,
yeah.
That's how it goes sometimes. When you're running after somebody and you're sprinting to the football, sometimes you take hits like that. You get up and you go play and continue to play. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It just shows it's not not a place for the gentle out there. That is keep your head on a swivel, and that's the game. That's the game I remember from out there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You keep your head on a swivel, and you know, sometimes you're on a line to get a quarterback. There's no head on a swivel.
No,
it's downhill. Go get them. You know,
absolutely.
You gotta take the risk if you want to make a tackle.
Well, Sean, thank you for your time. Go get him in Seattle, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right. Always great talking with you guys. I'll see you now.
See you, man.